Welcome to the Waco Experience, an American story.
We the people.
With your host, D. Scott Smith.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Interviews with leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations.
Promote the general welfare.
Jobs, products and services, and infrastructure for strong communities.
Secure the blessings of liberty.
The Waco Experience is an American story, a story of communities across America. It is your story.
I had a guy come here. He lived in London. His daughter lived here in the States, I think in Alabama, and they met here in Waco to take a tour. You got people from all over the world coming here, and that's what makes it fun.
In this episode of The Waco Experience, an American Story, we have the man I refer to as the Civic Laureate for Waco. Bobby Horner has retired from his duties with the city, and he is more involved than ever in our community. You're going to enjoy part one of our conversation and his knowledge of Waco history. I'm your host, D. Scott Smith. Each week, I share inspiring stories from my community, Waco, Texas. You can learn more about this program, our sponsors, and the podcast version of this show by going to our website, thewacoexperience.com. This program is made possible by sponsors, White Bluffs Construction, Custom Building, Home Remodeling. Call Seth at 254-227-2002 and schedule White Bluffs Construction to build your patio, deck, or pergola. Visit their website, whitebluffsconstruction.com. Biddy and Bo's Coffee offers hot and cold beverages, catering, and provides employment for people with disabilities. Visit Biddy and Bo's Coffee today at 110 Franklin in Waco. Ray's Automotive Specialist. Cars are complicated. Ray makes keeping your car in top condition simple. He's located at 5900 Franklin Avenue Service Road, Suite 33, right here in Waco. My wife will tell you, my car is my baby. When it needed service, I reached out to Ray, someone I trust. Call Ray at 254-235-5991 and learn more online at fixmycarray.com. Heart of Texas TV Indoor Billboards. My friend James Battle, former helicopter pilot for the U.S. Army, and his team at Hot TV amplify your brand where it matters most. Be seen where your customers eat, work, shop, and play. Learn more on the web at hotdigitaltv.com. Quality Cabinets. Your home is your sanctuary and an expression of your personality. Smooth, elegant, a lifetime of beauty guaranteed, and available for immediate delivery. The best thing to do, visit the Design Center at 720 New Dallas Highway in Waco. Call Quality Cabinets at 254-744-0938 to schedule a consultation and visit their website, qualitycabinetstx.com.
D. Scott here. We are on the patio at McLean Stadium Baylor Club. Beautiful day here. Fall has just launched in Central Texas. I'm with Bobby Horner. We met when he was working for the city, and we met actually 1,000 friends and had lunch right before Bobby retired. And so I've been looking forward to having a conversation with him. This is the first of a two-part series that we're going to do. We're going to talk about Waco history, past, present, future. We're going to look in the second episode about education with our youth. And Bobby has a great heart and a lot of involvement there. And I'm excited to be able to share that. What I've known about you, because you were involved in the city, economic development, education, a lot of communication, a lot of histories, you give tours. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a better title than Civic Laureate.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
All right. Let's get an introduction.
Okay. Bobby Horner, I have actually lived in Waco for 49 years. I came to school here at what was then known as Texas State Technical Institute. Got a two-year associate's degree in architectural drafting and design, which led into a 22 or so year career working for architects here in town, and got to involve some of those projects involved history projects like the Dr. Pepper Museum and things like that. I went through a little stage of burnout there for a while. I went to School of Evangelism for a little over a year and thought that was the path that God was leading me. That didn't work out exactly like I thought, so I got back into architecture. And then in April of 2002, I was hired by the city of Waco as a plan reviewer in the development services department, inspection department. Did that for probably 10 years. Then I advanced up to inspection supervisor for about 8 years, and, you know, the permitting and things like that. And then I got bumped up the last 5 years to public information specialist. And that's where I really enjoyed getting out, meeting people, getting to represent, you know, kind of the liaison between our department and developers and the citizens of Waco, and getting involved really with the Thousand Friends and chamber events, and just being out in the world and meeting people. And I really enjoyed doing that. Tours, things like that.
So let's talk about the tours.
Okay.
Tell us about the history that you get to share with Waco.
Okay. I really got immersed in the tour side of things about 8.5 years ago. Started working part-time for Waco Tour Company here, which was really the first tour company that Waco's ever had. What we do in those tour companies is, besides, you know, we have people around the world coming, of course, you know, Chip and Joe and the Fixer Upper phenomenon, and people were coming here. So the owners decided to do a tour company, and part of that tour company was to talk about Waco's history. Well, the more I got into the Waco history side, you know, the more we wanted to make sure we were accurate in what we were telling people. My interest in that really started to grow a lot. And so we kept, you know, looking at what we're saying, you know, is this giving an accurate view of Waco? You know, Waco has a lot of cool history, but it's got a lot of dark history. I don't shy away from that. I think if you're going to look at history, you got to look at all of it, if you're going to really learn from it. And I know there's a bunch of that talk back and forth in our society today, but my view is, and other people I've talked to, look, tell it like it is and let people interpret it the way they need to. I really talk about Waco's growth, which I saw during my times in the architecture profession and with the city development. And then once, you know, again, people started coming here to see things associated with, you know, Fixer Upper and all that, I mean, it just skyrocketed. And it was really fun to meet people that, like, for example, I had a guy come here. He lived in London. His daughter lived here in the States, I think in Alabama, and they met here in Waco to take a tour. You got people from all over the world coming here, and that's what makes it fun. You know, you get to make fun of their accents. They make fun of my accent. You make some really neat friendships with all that. It's all positive.
Yeah, people get to make fun of my Oregon accent, right? So let's talk about some of the changes that you've seen since you came here and first went to Texas State Technical Institute.
Well, one of the big things I remember is talk about the riverfront development. Well, what's happening with the Brazos River? You know, why hasn't Waco done something with the Brazos River? And several years ago, and I bet this talk has been going on for 40 plus years, the La Jolla Group out of California was going to come in and do a big $100 million development. Well, that never materialized. And then there was another company called Texas Country USA that was going to build like a Texas-themed Six Flags out here off of Lakeshore Drive. Well, that didn't materialize. There was even a Viking encampment on the Bosque that somebody was looking at. I still have the plan of it somewhere in my office. That didn't materialize. Interestingly enough, when I was at the city in 2006 and 2007, the city manager at the time said, look, we're fixing to have a lot of people start retiring from the city, and there's a lot of knowledge that's fixing to walk out the door. We need to have a class in the city, internally to the city, to start training these future people that are moving up. Well, I got selected to be in the first internal leadership Waco class. I call it my senior project at the end, was on, of all things, riverfront development. All these years later, we're now seeing that starting to happen, and that's what's exciting. It took a while, and that kind of goes back to even Waco Tours. Waco Tours got a couple of tour boats, and so now we do tours on the river, talk about the history, and then, you know, look at some of the new development coming. So it's a great relaxing way for people that's had maybe a long day, a long week, just to chill.
I know a lot of people associate the Brazos River with the suspension bridge.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of history around that you can learn just by going down.
Yeah.
And hanging out with the cows and walking across the bridge, maybe throwing a tortilla out to out to the pylon there.
The ducks love that, by the way.
Well, and my wife and I found out the turtles love it as well.
Yep.
There is a new project going on. I'll say deep discussions with development on the river.
There's a couple of projects actually going on. One is Anybody that's lived here long enough know that when the Brazos, we get some rain and a lot of high water, parts of the current river walk floods. And then once it goes down, it leaves a bunch of dirt and silt. And so the city has to go in and clean all that up. Now there's plans, and the last information I had, hopefully right after the first of the year, you'll start seeing some construction on their raising the level of that walkway from probably around Franklin Avenue down to the law school. What that's going to do is open up some really cool opportunities, because I know there's some restaurants that are going to look over there by Foster Pavilion. And I'm going to assume there's going to probably be some boat docks. You know, people that live up the Brazos can come down for dinner and come in their boats instead of driving down, which I think would be really cool. That, along with, you know, we've got the Ironman races on the river. We've got a sculling team here. There's just a lot of potential. It's kind of interesting to see that the Brazos River is now becoming such an outdoor sport venue for people. Of course, we've got the surfing deal right outside of Waco. Who'd have thought that? The airport director about 4 years ago told me, he says, I never thought I'd live to see the day all these surfboards coming through our airport. Anyway, Waco's got some very deep in the heart of Texas, and you know, we got some really unique opportunities, and it's fun to see. But the other part of the development question is we've got over the next probably starting next year, over the next 20 years, there's a major redevelopment of downtown. That's going to be a lot of not only infrastructure, but, you know, new office buildings. The Barron's Branch Park is going to be phase one. And there's a lot of history with that I'm working on. But there's even the proposal of a AA baseball park. The way it's been explained to me, that's kind of towards the end of the 20-year development, unless you have a developer or developers that come in and they say, we've got the financing to do that now and meet the city's requirements of, and it's not just a baseball park, it is development around it so that the park could be not only used for baseball, it might be used for soccer, and it's got development and housing and offices around it, and it's going to be right on the river. So I'm excited about that, because that could open up a lot of doors. A lot of neat stuff coming down there on the river that's just going to bring even more people to Waco.
I want to talk about East Waco. So okay. People are in downtown, and they're at the park, at the suspension bridge, the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
You go just a little north, cross the river,
mm-hmm.
You get into East Waco. Farmers Market has just relocated
yes,
there this year.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And there is some nice hotels that have gone in.
Yes.
Cambria
mm-hmm.
and Even.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some other development going on. But if you go down Elm Street,
mm-hmm.
there is a lot of opportunity
yes.
there. Tell us about your experience and vision for that side of the Brazos.
Yeah, that area for decades upon decades, that was the low side of the Brazos River. So when before all the flood controls, like Lake Waco, Lake Whitney, Lake Aquila, before those flood controls were put on the upper part of the Brazos, if we had big rains, that area in East Waco would flood a lot. So that hindered any kind of development. Well, now that all of the flooding has been brought under control, and the water still gets up, but it doesn't get to that flood stage, fortunately, East Waco is now seeing a real renaissance in development. And like I say, the hotels are over there. There's some other proposed development. Some of these older buildings that have been shuttered for a long time, now people are coming in and buying those and redeveloping. And Elm Street now that they've got it reconstructed, looks really cool. If you stand there kind of at the suspension bridge and look up Elm Street towards where the former Paul Quinn campus is, it really looks cool. And so that's
there's street lights.
Yeah, exactly.
The library is down there, which uh-huh. is decorated beautifully. There's
yeah.
a lot of murals that are going on, and there's a few businesses.
Right.
But there's a lot of vacant buildings.
Right.
And what do you think, because you've been involved in this development for so many years, and you've seen the changes, as we call it, the Magnolia effect.
Yeah.
What is it going to take to transform? What's the key to unlock the potential of Elm Street and East Waco?
Right. Well, I think it's what's had in other parts of Waco. It usually takes one or two people with a vision to step out and do something with those buildings. Like for example, Revival. It's an excellent restaurant to eat at. They've got their first bank over there. And some of those murals it's really become a big thing in Waco. And the East Waco Library was one of the first ones that I remember that whole mural down the side of that building actually tells the history of East Waco. And the other thing that I'm excited about, and it kind of goes back into development and history, is on the Paul Quinn campus, it was the first historically black college in Texas. Well, there's a building out there called William Decker Johnson Hall. That there has been, and I've been kind of indirectly involved with that, but it just recently in the last few months got a National Historic Register designation, which is huge. And the plan for Paul Quinn Incorporated on that building is to make it more of a multi-purpose facility, you know, some history, obviously, maybe have some rooms that people could rent out for events. They even talked about doing a rooftop area on that building. But William Pittman was the architect, and he was the first black architect to have a practice in Texas. So the architectural groups in particular are really watching this closely. But they would like to bring that building back, which, again, where the Rappaport Academy is, it's already been very successful. I'm excited about that. So that, to me, that kind of ties in the far end of Elm. And it's really neat to see what's happening there.
Yeah, if you go down Elm and you get to Garrison and then you just turn
right there at the left. Yep.
Turn left, there it is, that building.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell it needs a lot of work.
It does, yeah.
But there's some architectural features about that building that tell you there's some special opportunities there.
Yeah, I actually had the opportunity to walk through it with the director out there probably last year, and there's still a lot of, it's unfortunately it's been ransacked. People have gotten in there and done some things, but it's a strong building structurally speaking, and there's still some old books in there and stuff that it'd be interesting if you had time to go through it and just see what's there. And I know there was even talk about, wouldn't it be cool if we could get Paul Quinn to bring a satellite campus back there in some capacity.
Paul Quinn College is relocated to Dallas.
Dallas, that's right, 1990. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. But it's going strong up in Dallas. But I think there's been, you know, some ideas floated, you know, would that be a possibility? And I'm holding out. I hope that happens. I think that would be so cool, not only for Waco, East Waco, but also just the history that's tied to it.
So speaking of the history side of it, when you take people on tours, whether it's on the boat tour or walking tours, wherever, yeah. What is your favorite thing to point out to people?
Usually the bridge and the Alico building. Of course, Alico building, particularly since from an architectural standpoint, what's interesting about that, and this is what makes history fun for me, Roy Lane was the architect that really took the lead on the Alico building. What's amazing is that building was built in 1 year. That's what's amazing about it. But interestingly enough, about 3 years ago on one of my tours that I was doing with Waco Tours, Roy Lane's granddaughter came and took a tour with me. And I was beside myself. So, wow, how cool is this? And the other thing that happened kind of related to the Alico, you know, we always talk about the tornado that came down through town and the people that died, the R.T. Dennis building that was right across from there. And 22 people died in the basement because the pipes broke and they drowned. Well, I had a family on one of my river cruises probably 2 years ago, and I was telling that story, and one of the ladies leaned over and said, you know, that story about the tornado and the Alico and all that, and the R.T. Dennis building, says, one of my aunts was one of the ladies that drowned in the basement. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. And I said, do you know that we have a memorial that lists all the people that died? I thought she was going to start crying. She did not know that. Hmm. We did find a picture later and sent it to her. And she did ultimately find her aunt's name on that building. So when you get those personal touches to history, whether it's with the bridge or the Alico building, that's what makes history come alive. And I can jump all over that real quick.
I love that. And let's talk about Thousand Friends. I mentioned that's where we met.
Yes.
Thousand Friends has been going for how long? And tell us about that.
It's probably pushing 18 years, maybe 20 years. And I jumped in when it first started, and it wasn't anything like it is now. It was originally a downtown stakeholders deal. And this was before the Magnolia Effect hit. I mean, this was people, they were trying to get downtown going again after that lull of, you know, Austin Avenue and the closed walking mall down there that was a disaster. There was, I'm going to guess, 20, maybe 25 people that might come to that at best. Well, over the years, after people found out where Waco is now, they started coming, and all of a sudden interest, it wasn't just downtown. There were people coming all around town because the growth had started to expand. People were not talking about the Branch Davidian thing that happened back in 93. Now they're talking about Chip and Joe and Fixer Upper and all that. So people were coming here to Waco. And so the development and business opportunities started to grow. Well, Thousand Friends started to grow with it. One of the good things that the chamber did that I think was really helpful is they used to have the meetings at the chamber building. Well, now with these businesses coming in, businesses that could hold 50 or 60 people or so, we tried to move it around, not only to highlight that business and support local business, but it gave people a chance to go to places that might normally go. Like this next month, we're going to Tia Juanita's Fish Camp. People are all excited about that. I've known the owner for years, and he's excited for people to come out there. But it gives people a chance to highlight their business, so we support local businesses, and we get to move it around. And that's just one of several networking opportunities that the chamber offers. But I love doing Thousand Friends. Even when I was at the city, I got to do reports on, you know, fun projects coming. The chamber would do a bigger bird's eye view of the bigger projects coming in. And even after I retired, I said, man, I got to stay involved with this group. I'm having too much fun. So it worked out so that my former boss at the Development Services, he and I meet once a month, and he kind of gives me tabs on what's going on. Of course, I read the paper, and I keep my eyes and ears open, talk to people, and that's what I report on. And people have fun with that. I have a blast doing it. And I get to, I still, that camaraderie of networking, and I preach that to students. I preach anytime I go how important that is. If you're going to be successful, you've got to network, because you may be offering something somebody needs, or they are offering something you need, and you will cross paths at some point. So it's a big deal.
Thousand Friends has been a great opportunity to meet so many different people.
Yes.
And going to the different locations is helpful.
Right.
I was able to meet the folks at yep. NeighborWorks.
Yes, exactly.
That's where it was held. And you retired from the city earlier this year, and you started your own company, Heritage and Horizons Consulting, mm-hmm. LLC, and immediately got busier than ever.
My wife kind of jokes, says, you need to retire from retirement.
Tell us about some of the things that you're involved in, and one of the highlights I want you to hit on is the Taylor Museum.
Okay, basically, my Heritage and Horizons business is a full-time thing that I was doing part-time at the city. You know, when I was getting out and meeting people and involved with things, it was, you know, I only could do it a little bit. But the Heritage part covers the history of Waco. And the Horizons part is all the development coming on the horizon. And consulting, you know, I do consulting. It could be the history things. It could be the International Code Council, which does all of our building codes. So, and, you know, working with Skills USA. So I thought that name kind of covered a lot of what I was already doing. But now I get to kind of call my own shots and time frame and do that. Now, the Taylor Museum is just an extension of the history part. It's kind of funny, the guy that... Calvin Smith, who has probably helped start 12 museums. It's in his 60-year career, including the Strecker and now the Mayborn Museum. He's trying to help the Taylor Museum get open, which closed actually in 1998 as far as on a regular basis, and then it was open for appointment only. But what we're doing now, and Dr. Sloan at Baylor is on the board now, we're trying to get that reopened and to talk really about Waco's history specifically and McLennan County's history. And we want to do a major renovation to it. And of course, we're also looking forward to next year, the 250th anniversary of our country, and kind of gearing up some things for that. But I went to Calvin, called me one day and said, "Bobby, you know, we've lost some board members, and I really could use your help if you can." So I said, "Calvin, well, can I at least just come sit in and observe?" He said, "Sure, come on." By the end of that meeting, I was on the board. And I think by the next meeting, I ended up being the elected chair of the board. But it's been fun. We're really got some neat things going on. And the Barron Springs development, there's the actual Barron Springs is on some property that adjacent to ours and that we lease from the city. So we want to try to find that actual springs because that's where the Native American, that's one of the encampments that the Native Americans, you know, the Wichita, specifically the Waco that we got our name from. So there's a lot of neat things with history with that we want to do for Waco. And we've got some good folks that are on the board and that we're really pushing this. And I'm excited about it. I really feel good about it. And so, and we're also, one of the things, as you know, we just last weekend, we collaborated with Historic Waco on the musical comedy Crash at Crush, which I thought, how do they make a comedy out of a tragedy like that? But this troupe out of Austin done a really good job. They kind of specialize in Texas history stories, and this was one of them. And it was really well done. It was good. The people that performed were excellent. And there was a guy there that actually had pieces of the crash there that he had found. And so he had those on display. Anyway, it's all those kind of stories, plus the East Waco stories we're talking about. We want to get those recorded, you know, for history, put it in the Taylor Museum, things like that.
And so just to give people a little idea, that was a publicity stunt.
Publicity stunt, yeah.
With two trains running into each other.
That's right.
Yeah.
What better way to get people to ride the railroad than have two trains crash together? And by the way, let me just say this. I think this was probably the worst one just from tragedy standpoint, because two people died and several got hurt. Stunts like that with railroads were going on around the country, but I think this one took the cake. And by the way, it did not happen on the main lines. He bought 4 miles of extra rail and put the two trains on there. And on that day, people paid, I think, $250 a ticket, and there were 40,000 people show up, which made it the second largest city in Texas on that day to see this stunt. I mean, it was like Barnum and Bailey, and I think Barnum, he was part of it. I mean, it was apparently quite an event. But yeah, it was a publicity stunt.
Well, you've been listening to Part 1 with Bobby Horner.
The Waco Experience, An American Story, is a production of D. Scott Smith Company, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.